What kind of spiritual grapes are being grown in your life, brethren? Let's go to John 15 and a passage that everyone knows, or every one of us knows in here. John 15. There are different qualities of grapes. There are different purposes for grapes. There are different kinds of grapes. Some grapes produce raisins. Some grapes produce table grapes that you just eat by the handful. There are different wines that are produced by different grapes. So how you cultivate grapes is very important, brethren. And the word here that is very important is cultivate. Wild grapes are not fruit worth eating. Cultivated grapes have all kinds of purposes depending on what the grape grower wants to do with those grapes. Because it is the grape grower who decides what kind of grapes. There are specific soils. There are certain grapes that you can only grow in certain parts of the world. So there are specific soils for how you cultivate that grape. It's not something that just happens by accident, brethren. It's something that takes a lot of work, and it takes a vine dresser. It takes someone who takes care of the vine, who takes care and grows the fruit, who is actively involved. Grapes have to be cultivated. Now let's start here in verse 1, brethren. Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now we know these are the fruits of God's Spirit. God's Spirit is His mind, it's His power, it's His love. So what we're supposed to bear in our lives, what you're supposed to produce in your lives, is the fruit of God. In fact, brethren, it's the very character of God. It's interesting that the Father is the vine dresser, but Jesus Christ is the vine. And of course, brethren, that's an analogy. If we don't have a vine dresser, you and I cannot produce this. And if we're not connected to the vine, you and I will not be able to produce this. Brethren, as speakers, we can go to the Bible and we can give you all kinds of behavior modifications, which of course is important. But God wants more than just a behavior modification. When you discovered the Sabbath, it was a behavior modification. God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep the Sabbath. Usually when we start keeping the Sabbath, we don't even really understand why yet. But our behavior changes, and we begin to understand why. I remember when I came into the church, I was barely learning about the Sabbath, and I had the old, you know, where I would say pagan Christians, where you just go for an hour and you're done with the day, and you can have a blast the rest of the day. But little did I know that that day's dedicated straight for God, just for God. It's not doing our own purpose and enjoying, you know, the world. And but of course, brethren, as we begin to understand why, we begin to understand it's part of a relationship. As we begin to understand the Sabbath, it produces something in us. Now, to simply keep the Sabbath legalistically and not have what it produces in us is only to keep the Sabbath halfway. And that's what we can do with all of Christianity. And you see it all in all of Christianity, of course. All the doctrines of the Bible are supposed to take us someplace. The holy days, brethren, are supposed to take us someplace. God has this plan, and He gives us all this information. Now, if we only stay with that information, we're only half Christian. What you're going to find in life is that God says we must be converted in the mind and in the heart. You're going to find that most everybody in the church is converted to one degree or another in the mind. We get the doctrines, but we haven't taken the second step. And that's where our problems are always going to lie. The problems that deal with doctrine, things like that can get solved very easily. A person can go to another church. When we have the doctrine, we know what it teaches. We go to the Bible, and we say, this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what we believe. And of course, some people will say then, well, then I can't go to your church, or I'm going to find another church. And of course, we give them a hug, and we shake their hand, and they go on. The mind issues are usually dealt with fairly easily. But all of us in this room agree to one of the core basic doctrines. We may disagree on minor points, but on the core basic doctrines, we all agree. And of course, that's not where our battle are on this point. They were, of course, at one time, when maybe some of us had to give up pork, or we discovered that our relatives weren't really in heaven. Those were issues, and those aren't issues anymore, brethren. Now, brethren, it's issues of the heart. It's what is supposed to be produced. There's a physical part of what we do that is supposed to produce fruits of the Spirit, not just fruits of the flesh. And that's why you and I can't do this ourselves, brethren. We could do a behavior modification ourselves, and it's one of the great lessons that we learn when we keep the days of unleavened bread. You could take the Israelites out of slavery, but they never got the slavery out of the Israelites. They stayed slaves their whole lives. That first generation had to die because they could never get the slavery out of them. And brethren, God takes us out of slavery. He takes us out of slavery in this world, but the slavery has to come out of us. God is not just interested in forgiving us of our sins. He literally is interested in changing us into His children. And that's what this is all about, brethren. That's what makes the idea you hear out in the world that I just accept Jesus, say the sinner's prayer, and I'm going to be okay. And that's not what God wants, brethren. That's a shallow, meaningless Christianity. And in fact, it's an insult to Jesus Christ, because that's not what He wants. He wants us to become children, to become His children. So of course, brethren, we have to have a vine dresser. We obviously have to be connected to the vine. And in verse 2 of John 15, He says, every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That means God's got to be pruning in our lives, brethren. And if you know, I'm pretty sure Miss Hewlings knows that pruning is stressful on a plant. Some of you may be involved in agriculture. You grow your own garden, you grow your own flowers, and pruning on a plant is very stressful. They actually have machines that can measure the stress in plants. It's a conscious stress. Any biological thing has stress. It's stressful on a plant. It's stressful on you and me when God prunes us. When you prune a plant, you also have to fertilize it. Now, of course, brethren, this may not sound encouraging, but I want you to think about it. When there are times in your life that it feels like someone brought a dump truck and just dumped a load of manure on you, and it may have been God. Am I right? We've got to work with my plan here, that's what He says. I have a purpose, God says, and it is for you. And Jesus said His purpose is for you to bear much fruit. Now, a part of the problem is sometimes we want different fruit in our lives than what God wants in our lives. We seek different fruits than what He wants because we don't recognize the value of what He wants. And of course, Jesus goes on and He says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in Me. Brethren, that's an interesting word. You know, abide is an old English word. We don't use it much today. It literally means live in Me. This isn't a profession or an acceptance. He says, live in Me. And and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You and I can't do this ourselves, brethren. And that's the starting point. This is a daily asking. It's a daily submitting to pruning and fertilizing, receiving enough light and enough water. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And he's really driving the point here, brethren. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them in the fire and they are burned. He says you have to stay connected or you will die on the vine. You will simply shrivel up. I don't know if you've all have ever seen grapes in a drought, but they shrivel up and they turn into little brown balls. And they can't even be used as raisins. They're absolutely useless. There's nothing you can do but cut them down and burn them. But of course, that's not the purpose here. What he's trying to get across, what he's trying to drive across, is the Father as your vine dresser, and I as the vine will do this if you bear this fruit. So, brethren, we have to participate in this process. You and I have to be participants in this process. And of course, verse 8 is very important. By this producing fruit in you, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God the Father is glorified by the fruit that you bear, brethren. God is glorified by our fruit. A lot of the times we look at the self-glorification and what God is doing in our lives. So it is the glorification of God that is the purpose here. We have a vine dresser. We have a vine and we have the glorification of God. How many times have we said to God and asked him, what do you want from me? What do you want in my life? And God's answer is, I want you to bear these fruits. I want you every day to experience these things. And then sometimes we'll think to ourselves, yeah, but don't you think I could really do those things if you gave me more money? I could really have those things if I could just get rid of the coworker that I can't stand. I could really have those things and we can fill in the blank. But that's not the point, brethren. He desires this, and this is where God the Father is very important. Jesus' brother is very important. Understanding him as vine dresser. Understanding his purpose. He's going to prune you, and it's stressful. And he's going to throw some manure on us every once in a while he's producing something in us. And yes, he's going to lift us up. It's interesting in John's account that there's one point the Greek literally means to lift you up. You have to lift the grapes up because they just straight down and they'll rot. So he will lift you up. So he's going to do all these things every day. And if we forget the purpose, this becomes really, really hard and meaningless. You have a purpose every day in your life, and it is to bear fruit. Why, you might ask? Why does God desire this in you? What God is trying to do is he wants a very specific fruit in your life. Now you might want to ask, what are the fruits that he wants to produce? Now we could go back to behavior modification for just a minute. There's a behavior modification that is involved in this. When we first learn the Ten Commandments, when we first learn God's way, we change our behaviors. You cannot bear fruit without changing the behaviors. It is not possible. You can change certain behaviors and still not bear fruit. And that's what's important to understand. You can change certain behaviors. The thing about bearing fruit is that it is from the inside out. Behaviors are changed outside in. And fruit is changed inside out. You bear it inside of you. And of course, brethren, we could go to all kinds of scriptures and talk about living waters. And of course, sometimes that doesn't mean too much to us. We don't come from an agriculture society. In an agriculture society, you don't have water. You have stagnant water, and you cannot grow good fruit. You have to have living, moving water. And the Holy Spirit is the living, moving water. And the Holy Spirit is the moving water. And that's one of the analogies used for the Holy Spirit. It must flow into us. We must submit to it. And fruit comes from the inside out. Brethren, I used to think that I could only produce fruit if I was 100% healthy. And that's not true. I'm pretty sure, as most of us know, we get old enough and we start to realize I'm never going to feel 20 again. I'm never going to feel 30 again. I'm never going to feel 40 again. And it doesn't mean I don't get to produce fruit. In fact, I'm learning to produce fruit because aches and pains. So it doesn't matter. God is going to produce this in you whether you have health or you don't have health. He's going to produce this in you whether you have a good relationship or bad relationship. In fact, bearing fruit of God will help you in your relationships. And bearing the fruit of God's Spirit will help you endure bad relationships, because as everybody knows, you can't fix a relationship. You can't fix all relationships, because relationships take two people. And you may think, if I learn the fruits of God's Spirit, all my relationships will automatically work. And no. But you'll be different in how you deal with relationships that don't work, because you'll be different from the inside out. It's not an outside in. It's not change the environment. And this is the good, and this is the good times, and this is the bad times. And it doesn't matter. God has the same plan for you no matter what. And this is where we struggle with this. I've heard people say, well, I would do that, and I understand what God wants, but it's not what I want. We know the fruits, but let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We know those fruits, and let's start in verse 19. Because let's look at the contrast, brethren. Paul wants to show contrast. He wants to show what is natural, what naturally comes out of us, brethren. And he makes a list. The list is much longer than this, but he's making a point. Here's what happens in our lives when we do it our way. We do it our way. Galatians 5, verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which of course means lawlessness. We do whatever that we want. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Wow, what a list, brethren. And he says, but this is what we do. This is who we are naturally. Naturally, brethren, we have hatreds. Naturally, we have jealousies. Naturally, we just get angry. And you know, one of the most interesting problems that we have as human beings, of course, not everybody here, but maybe some of us will be connected to it one way or another. Somehow, we've gotten angry, and we've never really gotten over it. Am I right? You get angry, maybe when you were 10 years old, and you're still angry. And that's not what God wants in us, brethren. So much so that anger or jealousy, these things are actually part of our personality. They become part of our character. And that's why it's so hard to get rid of some of these things. But if I stop being angry, maybe we tell ourselves, then my mom will get off the hook because she used to beat me. And no, it doesn't, brethren. It just means that you're just not angry anymore. And this is part of who we become. We see here it says selfish ambitions. We just become selfish. We want everything my way. And so the husband and wife, parents and children, neighbors, co-workers, we all fight about who gets their way. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, false teachings become part of the process. False teachings come from an internal need for something, an internal desire for something. And people produce false teachings because it's an inside-out event. Let's continue verse 21. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And brethren, that's a powerful statement. Now, all of us still wrestle with this on this list. He's not talking about the fact that we still wrestle with our corrupt human nature. He's talking about this lifestyle as an accepted part of who you and I are, brethren. He says if we just stay this way, God will eventually cut us off of the vine and throw us into the fire. Now, brethren, let's look at what he wants us to have in our life. The fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, or live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now it's interesting because as you bear these fruits, brethren, you're submitting more and more to God. And in verse 26, it starts to affect the way you interact with other people. It says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So it changes the way we treat each other, brethren. See, we must live and walk in these fruits. God wants this for you. He desires this for you. The way the Father desires the best for His child. I remember when Orly and Paris were trying to walk, and they fall down, and I pick them up, and I tell them, come on, you can do it. Come on, come to Daddy. And you know, brethren, that's what God is doing for us. You don't know what God is doing for you, but He's telling us, come on, you can do it. He's cheering us on because He loves us. And of course, it's not just because we're smarter than anybody else. Do we love our children because, well, this one's smart and the other one's dumb? God looks at you as His son and daughter, and He's cheering you, and every time you do something, every time you produce fruit, He sees a family resemblance. He sees Himself. Christ sees Himself in you when we produce fruit. And in the end, when you're changed, it doesn't matter what talents you have, because whatever they are, they have been used and developed because of the fruit. Whatever gifts He gives you will be used and developed because of the fruit. And it is not just talents and gifts that will say your family resemblance. It is because you have borne in you the life, the fruits of your father, the vine dresser, and your brother, the vine.